Good afternoon, everyone. PWA Director Jen Adams here, sitting down with Holly Roten to talk about something that many of you have told me is a big dream for you, which is quitting your day job. And I asked Holly to join me today because she's someone who has made the leap. She left her full-time job and now she is a full-time writer. And unlike a few of us who like had to make the leap into full-time writing because we had lost our other jobs, Holly planned and chose this path for herself, and now she's working with clients that she loves and gets to be the active designer of the kind of life that she prefers to live. So Holly, I am so glad that you could join us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
You bet. So Holly, when you first kind of like crossed the PWA member radar, it was while you still had your day job and you were working as a mammographer. And you had used your Facebook friends list and the Messenger app to land your first few clients. Something which continues, like I see PWA members asking all the time now, like, how did she do it? What did she do? What did she say? But just reaching out, and can you tell us a little bit more about what had you interested in the writer's life in the first place and kind of pulling you in that direction?
So I always wanted to be a writer. From when I was a little kid, I was always writing songs and poems and little stories and stuff like that. And when it came time for high school to be over and for me to choose a career path, I come from a family that's a little bit unorganized. They don't really have a plan for life. Nobody has a retirement. Half of them didn't finish high school. And it just felt really important to me to have some kind of stability. So I chose to go to X-ray school because that was like a sure thing. Like guaranteed money in the bank, you'll have a guaranteed retirement plan and some stability. So because of where I came from, that felt like the right choice at the time. But I always really thought that I'd go back and start doing the writing thing. But then, you know, you have kids, you have bills, you have all these life stressors, and it's not as easy as you think it's going to be. So I'd always wanted to circle back around to that. And as time progressed, you know, it got harder and harder to work at the hospital because it's just not where my heart was. Mm. And so it was slowly eating at me over and over the years. And then I had gotten a couple of years ago, I think I saw it on Pinterest, actually. I saw some link that said something about being a writer, and I just was scrolling through. So I clicked it, and it was a letter by Mindy McCourse talking about the writer's life and how you can get paid to be a writer. And within the first week, I'd signed up for the accelerated course. Like I need to see what this is all about. And then it took me probably 2 years before I went to my first boot camp. And slowly I started taking courses through AWAI to kind of build up my skills and my confidence and just try to stick my toes in the water a little bit. But I was still working full time and wasn't really sure how I was going to get into that officially. But I was slowly trying to make it work.
Well, and I think that's something that a lot of people have done. And like, even when I started, like I had a full-time job and I wanted out of it so bad, but it was a job that like my family understood what that job was. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, you do HR. Like this is a thing. And as you said, like it's stability. It's something people understand. It comes with this like built in, like this is your path and it will have these things. And
people are proud of you too. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you come from a family where most people don't graduate high school. They're like, my kid went to college. She's working at a hospital. Then they associate that with your identity. And it's really hard. That's probably the hardest part. Like that's in your mind who you've become, and you have to find a way to become somebody else.
That was interesting to me too. When I left corporate America, I guess I had really like not, I had never thought of myself as like a corporate person. Or that corporate people were like a whole separate species of people. But then as I was like out in the real world, for lack of a better term, people were like, oh, well, you used to be corporate. I'm like, it is not a separate universe. It was just like the place I went to. But it was just like how much identity was wrapped up in that work. And then you're like, oh, well, I'm going to be a freelance writer. And people didn't have any identity frame to then kind of snap onto that. And it was, I mean, it was disorienting for me a little bit, but it was also clearly disorienting to other people in my social circle. They
Half the
kept
people I
trying.
know still have no idea what I'm doing. They're like, what are you doing again? What's copywriting?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, and don't you want a job? There's an opening at my work. And I'm like, no, I very much, I do not want the opening at your work, but thank you.
No, thank you.
Yeah, because this year for you've made like the big leap. You left the day job, and one of the things is I've been working on some other materials. Like nationally, you are like right on trend. Like this is a year where everyone is quitting. Like just over the summer alone, more than 10 million people quit their jobs, and there was a survey out like in the last week or two that was saying like 55% of people currently employed are looking to change or upgrade their jobs. So for you, when you started out to do this, to leave your job, like, did you feel like you were joining a movement? Was it something more personal? Like, what kind of drew you to that moment of like, no, I'm doing this, I'm leaving.
It was definitely more personal. I think you have to be careful with, trending things. It sounds nice to get caught up in a movement, but a lot of times when you get caught up in something, that's you're caught. You know what I mean? Like you're not following a path that you're supposed to be on. You're following like a river. You've been caught in the flow of the water and you're just heading downstream. When you're going to change something as big of a as a career, it changes so much of your life. And you have to be sure that that thing that you're changing is something that's going to be what you actually want. Like you have to be true to yourself. And during boot camp, everybody was talking about, authenticity, being true to yourself, following your own path, doing the thing that sparks joy in your own life. And for me, that's always been writing. I always feel like when I'm writing, like I almost like I have a connection to like a writing guru that just kind of puts ideas in my brain. I was reading a book the other day and it was talking about the muses in Greek mythology and how some writers think that they're, they pray to the muses before they write because they think that that's where the creativity comes from. And I almost feel like I'm connected to some divine source at some point, call it, God or the universe or a muse. Because when I'm writing, I just feel so connected and like there's a message that needs to flow through me to someone. And for me, that was writing has just always been the thing that I was supposed to do. I think we all have some inherent talent that we're supposed to gift the world with. And if you're not giving that gift that you know you have, there's something eating away at you. That's what gives people anxiety. That's what makes people hate their jobs. That's what makes people feel like, I don't know what my purpose in life is. If you feel like you don't know what your purpose in life is, you haven't found that thing that's your gift that you're supposed to contribute to the world. So it's very personal for me.
Yeah. Well, and so then, you talked about you were in this job and it didn't feel, it wasn't right for you anymore. And you're like, I'm going to leave. So can you walk us through a few of the steps you took to identify like what you needed to change in your life so that you could comfortably quit? Because like you'd gone into it for the stability, but now you're like, okay, I'm going to intentionally walk away from this, but that doesn't mean I want like a chaos life either. In your essays, you had talked about, getting rid of some debt and making time in your life for writing as a profession. So what were some of the other things that you considered and just like, how did you approach
So,
that?
like I said, I had started building up my skills on the side. So I worked 40 hours a week full time at the hospital. I'm a mom of three. You have to kind of make time where you can. Sometimes I'd get up early, like an hour or two earlier before I have to be to work and work on it. Sometimes I'd work on it right after work or on the weekends in the mornings when everybody was sleeping in. But I was building up my skill set on the side, taking AWAI courses, practicing writing. And then I was also paying off debt, paying all my credit card debt off, because if you're going to make a big leap like this, you want to feel like you have some security. That makes you feel safer. That makes it easier to do that. Especially for me, I needed that stability and that assurance. And there's no guarantees in life, but it makes you feel a little bit better if you can be a little more prepared. So that's what I was trying to do. I was trying to prepare myself. I was also telling people that I knew that I wanted to be a writer, that I was thinking about quitting my job to kind of put the idea out there. And during this process, I also ended up getting a divorce. And you know, from a good man. He's a good person, but I just felt like where I was going next, he couldn't go with me. And I feel like a really big, important part of this is surrounding yourself with people that are going to lift you up, that are going to make you feel supported, and are going to be proud of you, and are going to push you to excel. Because if you have people holding you back, it's harder. People that don't want you to succeed, maybe because they're insecure themselves, or maybe because, you know, you succeeding makes them feel bad for not doing the things that they're supposed to be doing, most of which is subconscious and they don't even realize it. So that's important too. And then just having the mindset, like, I can do this, you know? And the big thing for me, I mean, other than I paid off the debt, I started practicing writing, I started surrounding myself with positive people, I was building up my skills. I was telling people, I told my boss, you know, I think I'm someday going to want to quit, which they thought was ludicrous at first. And they stopped believing me because it was like 2 years ago. But I started putting it out there and I started doing things on the side. I started pitching ideas to AWAI for articles. And I just started to try to mentally prepare myself. And then I think the big change for me was when my mom passed away. She passed away in May. And when she did, it was like a very eye-opening experience for me. My mom was in her 50s. There was a lot of things that she did not do. She didn't get to do. And, you know, she could have. That was her choice that she didn't do the things that she wanted to do. But it was a big eye-opening experience for me that tomorrow's not guaranteed. You have today and you have dreams. And if you don't reach for those dreams, no one else is going to reach for them for you. And one day when you're at the end of your life, you're the one that has to look back and say, you know what? I didn't do all those things I wanted to do. Or you get to look back and you say, you know what? I gave it a go. I tried it and I went for it, and you can feel good about it. And that was like the big push. I was, you know, baby stepping it until that point. And then when that happened, I was like, okay, it's now or never. If I am going to do this, I need to just step out on faith and do it. Just give it a shot. You know, if it all crumbles and falls apart, I can go back to the hospital. I still have my license. And people are hiring all the time, especially right now. I could go make $15 an hour at KFC if I want to.
My goodness, you can make more than that up here. Like, move to Michigan, though. Well, I think that's the thing. People are like, okay, well, I told everyone I was going to quit my job, and people weren't believing me because I didn't do it, like, the next day. Mm-hmm. Or they put it out of their heads. And, you know, you're preparing that whole time. But also realizing, like, if you leave too soon, you can jump back into a job. Like, there's not there's definitely always KFC. That sounds terrible. I used to work at Arby's when I was younger. And over the years, I'm like, well, if it ever comes to it, I know how to work it at Arby's.
Right? I was a great waitress all through school. So
you're like, there is always that. Well, and you've talked about mindset a lot, and like really believing that you can do it and not letting some of those doubts hold you back, and especially seeing someone else who had potentially missed the opportunity to do some of the things that they wanted. So how have you really like cultivated that I can do this attitude? Like, my time is now and I am doing this.
Well, I don't want to say I didn't have any doubts. You're going to have doubts and you're going to worry, especially when you have kids and bills and responsibilities. You have to be realistic and you have to say, okay, these things matter. I do have bills. You know, I reduced a lot of my bills. I sold my house. I got a cheap place with cheap rent. I, you know, stopped going to Starbucks every day. I don't eat out very often. You know, I started being a little more frugal with my money. And then I started doing some things that still sounds silly to me when I say it out loud, but you have to work on your mindset and your own belief in yourself. And for me, what I would do is I do daily affirmations. So get out a piece of paper, or you can do it on the computer. And I write about how amazing I am. And I'm like, you are amazing. God has given you the ability to write. This is your purpose. Who can stand in your way? No one. If God wants you to do this, nobody can stand in your way. And I just write all these hype girl things, and I, you know, hype myself up, and it makes me feel better. you know? And then surrounding yourself with people that believe in you too. Like I have, I'll give you an example. My brother, I have five brothers, but my one brother in particular is Negative Nancy. He is always, he loves to talk crap to people. And when I was quitting my job, he was like, ah, are you sure? I don't know. I don't know if you should do this. That sounds kind of risky. And he wasn't one of the positive people, but he was like, whatever, it's your life. But last week he calls me and he says, you know, I thought you were crazy when you were quitting your job, but I read some of the stuff you write and you're good. He's like, you need to keep doing this. And just hearing that feedback, you're never going to hear it if you don't put yourself out there. You're never going to hear how you affected somebody's life, how your words inspired them, which is like the ultimate compliment to somebody that's a writer.
Right.
You will never feel what that feels like if you don't put it out there and try. And it's worth it. It's worth the risk. It's worth the stress. It's worth trying to learn something new and being uncomfortable. It's worth it because then you feel like I've done all this for a reason and I'm here for a reason. And you're aligned with the purpose that you've been put on earth to do.
Yeah. Well, I like how you bring up, you know, that there were people that were negative Nancys. And like, that's a really specific example. And the thing that people tell me all the time, like, oh, it's risky. It's risky. It's risky. Some of my research, I pulled up like the median income numbers from last year for normal people, right? Not writers. Mm-hmm. And they're making like in the upper 30s. Like that's where that sits. So you're making like 18 bucks an hour is middle. And then for writers last year, the median income was like 62. And it's probably in all the years that I've looked at those numbers, it's like the biggest gap that I've seen. Cause it's like $25,000 more than like the traditional normal. And I'm like, okay, but people still years into this are like, oh, isn't it risky being a freelancer? Aren't you really taking this big risk? And I'm like, no, there's money here. There's the chance to inspire people. There's the chance to do something you really enjoy that really makes you feel like you're making a positive difference. And like, it pays people like this will be fine. So like that judgment, kind of seeing that shift into people being like, oh, I didn't realize, or, oh, like you're really good. Like this is really working out. So what are some of the other ways that that's just like continued to be a surprise for you, or like some other things that you've seen shift in your life as a result?
Well, you know, I'm just starting out as, you know, this is my only source of income. So I've never been more poor in my life, but I've also never been happier. And it's so funny, the things that you think are going to be problems, you know, like I was making 35 bucks an hour at the hospital. Had benefits, had insurance, and I felt like I needed that. But you know what? Most of the money I made, I spent on junk, random nonsense that I didn't need. And now that I'm, you know, being a little more frugal and working from home, I'm happier. My kids are happier. I'm able to do things that I couldn't do before. My kid had a field trip the other day, and I was like, yeah, I'll go. I couldn't have done that before. There's no way my boss would have let me off last minute to go on a first grader's field trip. And when they're sick, and I'm less stressed. So I work all day doing my writing stuff. The kids get home from school. I do homework with them and I'm not screaming at them because I've worked all day. Now I have to do this. Then I have to cook dinner and then I'm going to work on my writing stuff on the side. I'm not trying to cram everything into one day. I have this sense of peace and I can kind of flow.
Nice.
And I just feel better. I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be.
You know? That's great. And it does make such a difference having some of the anxiety just out of life because you're like, I'm not trying to fit in a commute and dealing with everything at work all day and then a commute home. And then like, here's my home life. And you only have like the dregs of yourself left to give to your home life. And you're like, ah, too much.
And you just see what's important. You know what I mean? You think that money's important and having this title is important, but it's not really what's important. What's important is feeling like you have a sense of purpose and it's being happy and it's connecting with the people that you love and having time to do that. And it's just really, really nice.
Well, good. Good. Well, and then, so what about some of the clients that you're working with? You'd mentioned before when we were talking about the Facebook ads and in that article that you still had your full-time job, and so you were writing on the side, and the kinds of clients that you could work with was kind of limited by still having this day job and still having all these other things to do. So what about now? Like, what do you think is different, or some of the differences about who you work with, how you approach them, what kind of client stuff you're taking on?
Well, before I was reaching out to anybody that needed me. So I took on three clients doing social media management, one of which was a group of hunters. They do hunts and they guide, and they paid me the best out of all of the ones that I was working with. But when you're trying to be true to who you are and do things that make you feel good and make you happy, I realized like I can't work with these people. Not because I have anything against hunters. Like, if you want to hunt, that's awesome. Go hunt. But I don't hunt. It doesn't interest me. I don't know anything about it, So it's not something that I was finding joy in doing the writing for. So I think now I'm in a really good position where I can take my time and I can find clients that align with who I am and what I want to be doing. So I'm trying to work with clients that are more into, I've been calling myself the woo-woo guru. Because I want to work with people that are like in spirituality or, holistic health or, things that make you feel good, female empowerment, my hype girls. I want to work with, women-owned businesses and people that have products or services that are making other people's lives better. I want to help make people's lives better. And if you're making people's lives better, I want to help you help them. So I'm in a position now where I can take my time and find clients that align with who I am and what I want to be doing and what feels good to me.
That's nice. Well, and also kind of growing that awareness of like, okay, well, I can do this kind of writing work, but it doesn't light me up and it doesn't make me excited to get out of bed.
And it feels good to put yourself in a position like doing all those other steps, like paying off your debt and reducing your bills. And, I've established a place by doing all those steps that I can comfortably do this. If you're stressed out and you're just trying to take on anything you can, you're going to end up doing work that doesn't feel good. You're going to be more stressed. You're going to quit a job that you didn't enjoy just to work in another job you didn't enjoy. And that completely defeats the purpose here. If you're going to move in to do something you love, do it with a niche that, aligns with who you are and brings you joy.
Well, and it's amazing too to me how much more productive I am on projects that I'm excited about. I have all these ideas, I have all these things that I can do when I'm talking with the client. I'm like, oh, and we can do this and we can do that, and in ways that I am not in the jobs that I can think of sometimes is like the repair the furnace kind of jobs where you're like, okay, I just need something right now. But like being in that better place to be a little more choosy. So, all right. So as of this point, you're about coming up on 6 months into it. Like, what do you see ahead for kind of the next year or like any big goals for 2022?
So I want to actively reach out to customers that are, in my niche, my woo-woo niche. And I want to work with some clients like that. But I also have a female empowerment blog that I've been building up slowly, called girlfixyourcrown.com.
Nice.
So I want to put a little more attention into that. I'm writing a book. So I kind of have a lot of different things that I'm doing. I'm working with my copywriting skills and building that up while I'm also letting my creative juices flow into other ways that make me feel good. I have the time to do that now that I'm full-time writer. So I'm sort of letting the path reveal itself to me as I go and figuring out where it is that I need to be.
Nice. Well, I know this month, like NaNoWriMo, they're like, oh, everyone's writing a book this month. I'm like, no, everyone that was working on a book before is now still working on their book.
Life happens and it takes a lot longer than you think it's going to take.
It's very true. I have one that I've been working on for a while. And I know that some of the PWA members in the group, they're doing like a copy skills building for their nano time this month. But just being able to blend in ways that you kind of can when you have a full-time job. Like you have the full-time job and then you're like, oh, and I have to carve out this space for my creativeness. And it's very hard some days. Versus when you're like, no, I'm creative all day and I have a space for all of these projects.
Yeah, usually when you're working a full-time job, you're trying to carve out space for like the copywriting stuff, the stuff that you're going to replace your income with, which can be really fulfilling and rewarding, and you can use your creativity, but you don't have a lot of time left over for that extra stuff. Like, hey, I want to write a book someday. I'd like to write an autobiography for my kids, or, you know, whatever it is that you also want to do on top of those things. And when you clear the space that you can put yourself in a position to just stay at home and write, you have a lot more time and opportunity to do all the things. That being said, you have to respect your time at home and not think, oh, I'm home, so I can just, you know, go watch Netflix. Because that, you have to be careful. You have to hold yourself accountable. I keep telling everybody I know, because they'll call me, oh, Holly's not at work. Hey, do you want to watch my kids? Hey, do you want to go to lunch? And I say, weekdays are work days. I cannot.
It is true about like setting up your boundaries. Like I have designated times. I don't do a full day. I do like a half a day and I switch off because my husband also works from home. But just being like, no, these are my work hours. This is when the magic happens, the money happens, all of the things. Like this is the time when it's business time.
Yeah. I'm on a Zoom call with the guru now. Yeah. So like the muse is speaking to me. I can't go to lunch.
I can't go to lunch. I can't go the peanut butter. I can't unstick the Legos. Yeah. All of the things. I definitely remember my first year as a freelancer. Everyone's like, well, you're just at home. I'm like, I'm working from my house. I'm not just at home.
I think so. It's a little bit easier right now for a lot of people to understand the working from home thing, because so many people have been working remotely. So they're like, oh, you're still working. You're just working from home. That's what I'm doing. I'm working from home. You know, so I think that that part is a little more understandable for people now, just given the COVID craziness.
Yeah, with everything that's happened in ways that, I mean, man, even 2 years ago, the number of people working from home, like versus now, it's just like, oh, it's established. You're working at home. Fine.
Well, and a lot of people, they've been talking about how their productivity's gone up working from home. They're doing just as well working from home as they would in the office. And it's cheaper to employ people that are working from home than to have office space for them. So I think the culture's changing a little bit, that they will in the future start allowing some job roles to be at home.
It'd be nice. It'll make us writers the normies and then not so outstanding. Well, is there any other advice on kind of quitting the smart way or making the leap that you'd like to share with PWA members?
I don't think that there's any one way. I think that everybody has their own specific challenges to overcome. They're going to have their own specific, you know, you may have a sick parent at home that you're trying to care for. You may have kids that need health insurance. That was a big stressor for me. You know, like, what am I going to do about insurance? But it turns out when you quit your job, you can apply for, you know, health care and they'll actually let you do that. There's a lot of options. Yeah. And, you know, you may have a partner who doesn't want you to quit, who's adamant that you don't. You may have, you know, the list of challenges is endless. But the main thing that you have to get under control is your own head. Because that's what's standing in your way. You're the one standing in your way. And if there is somewhere you want to be, you're the only one that can start taking steps in that direction. And if you don't, no one's going to do it for you. And that doesn't have to be overnight. You don't have to go into work tomorrow and say, hey, I quit. You know, you can slowly over time do this, but write down your goals, write down when you want to quit, tell people what your plan is, and start slowly building and doing the things that you need to do to make it more comfortable for you. It doesn't have to be overnight, but it can be done.
Yeah, well, I think that's a thing too. Sometimes we have an expectation that there will be overnight success or failure, and it's really, it's a process for everybody. And I mean, I think you said it took about 2 years from the time where you're like, I'm going to quit this job and be a full-time writer. You're like, okay. And now I'm taking
this step. And I thought it would happen faster.
Yes. But I mean, it's like, we never recommend that people like leap before they're ready or put themselves in positions that are less than ideal. But it's like, you are the only person, as you've said, that you're like, you're the person that takes that next step. You're the person that reaches out to the client online. You're the person that sets up a website. You're the person that completes a skill building session. You're the person who finishes the article and turns it in. Like, you are the person mm-hmm. who makes it happen. So.
And you never know the ways that you can do that. You know, you just be creative. You know, there's, say you go to a coffee shop and they want you, you see like they have a, hey, like our page, and you get 10% off. You like their page and you say, hey, you know, they don't really post a lot of stuff. You can say, hey, who does your social media? And they tell you, I don't, you know, I don't have a lot of time to do social media. And you say, hey, well, I manage social media. The opportunities are everywhere. You just have to open yourself up to them. You have, I'm sure you, everybody has friends that are business owners that are running businesses that could use some help. And it's, you're not begging for work. Kind of like Scott Stratton said, you're not chasing them. You're providing a service and they want your help. There are some companies that are like, oh my God, if I have to deal with social media, I'm going to stab myself. They hate it. And you showing up and saying, hey, I can do that. You're like a knight in shining armor. They want to kiss your feet. Like, take my money. Here, take it.
Yes. Well, I've written that places before too. It's like, you're really, as you said, you're not begging them for work. They are not doing you a favor. The reality is like, you're helping them. And many, many small business owners, big business owners too, they would love marketing help and they just don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. They don't even know how to ask for some of the stuff that they need. Mm-hmm. It's surprising sometimes, you know, people say, oh, I need marketing help. And you're like, well, what kind of help are you looking for? And they're like, I don't know, help. They can't even ask. They're like, they don't know how to say, I need a content strategy. They need someone like you who knows something about it to walk in and be like, oh God, you need a content strategy, like, really bad.
They know they have pain, but they don't know what the solution is. And you have solutions that you can offer them. And that would be a miracle for them.
Yes. I was so surprised as I was reading through the book club pick of the month, which Nick Loper's $1,000, 100 ways. And it's all these interviews with different types of business owners and how many of them, when he's talking about, you know, what do you regret? What are your lessons learned? So like, I wish I'd gotten some marketing help earlier. I wish I'd figured out the marketing part of it. So it's like, as you said, like, you know, people that are doing side hustles, are business owners, you know, work in big companies that can help you. So the leap is possible
mm-hmm.
and probably closer than you think.
Mm-hmm. And even if you want to just, you know, start slow by, you can pitch AWAI articles. That's the first business I ever got, was pitching you guys article ideas. Mm-hmm. And some of them you guys probably read and you were like, no, this is ridiculous. You're not doing an article on that. But then there were some winners like, okay, yeah, write that for me. And you keep trying.
Well, and I will say, I know people are nervous about pitching sometimes. Like, I really don't remember the ones I say no to. Like some that are maybes, I kind of keep in a folder of like, I'll go back to that. But it's like, if you pitch 30 things, I don't remember what they all are. Like, I'm not mm-hmm. keeping a tally or holding it against you if you didn't have a perfect pitch, or
you don't hang a picture of them on the wall, like, silly ideas, no. John Smith. No.
No, so it's really not like that. And, you know, just being consistent with it too, because as Holly said, like, okay, this idea didn't work, but the next one might. So just continuing to be that idea machine is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And just trying. Yeah. If it's something you want to do, you have to try. It's not going to magically fall into your lap and all the things won't just line up magically. You do have to put some effort into it, but you'll know you're on the right track. Because doors will open. You will find ways to make it happen and it'll feel really good and really exciting. Terrifying too, but also really good and really exciting.
Nice. Well, and so for interested PWA members who want to follow your career, kind of watch what happens next. What's the best way for them to follow you? Girl Fix Your Crown, LinkedIn, Facebook.
So for my copywriting stuff, all of it, like I have integritycopywriting.com, or I'm on Facebook for Integrity Marketing and Customer Communications. I'm on LinkedIn as Holly Roten. If you want more of my, you know, hype girl stuff, my girlfixyourcrown.com is the blog. I'm on TikTok as Girl Fix Your Crown. I have a Girl Fix Your Crown Facebook page. And, you know, I'm pretty easy to find.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, thank you so, so much for joining me today. And it's a big moment for writers to, like, change career and make that big switch in their identity and their daily life and kind of everything around them. So I know members love hearing from people who are doing it and who are doing it now, not people who did it 10 years ago. Like, This is what's going on now. So thank you so much for sharing kind of what you've been doing, kind of what you've been working with.
Yeah, I am happy to help. And anybody that has questions or like, you have a specific question about like, well, how did you get over this fear? What did you do in this situation? Feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn or wherever. I'm pretty nice. I won't ignore your message and never respond. You know, I like to help people get to the place that they want to be. You know, it's hard and I don't think any of us get there alone. I think we can all, you know, reach out a helping hand and help one another. So.
Nice. Nice. Well, so I encourage people to reach out to Holly. And then kind of one last thing for PWR members, you know, here we are going into the end of the year. And so it is just kind of a time to reflect on where you've been, where you'd like to go. And it's also that minute where you look over your finances and your PWA balance and think about what programs you might want to invest in to help you hit your 2022 goals. So my public service announcement for today is to remember that every dollar that you spend on your PWA membership is matched one-to-one with PWA dollars you can redeem for event registration, certifications, and other AWAI training programs. So if you'd like to know your balance or you have a program in mind that is going to help you take one more step closer to quitting your day job or leveling up your business, call the member success team, 866-874-2924, and they will absolutely help you out. So until next month, when we're going to be talking about something that is very near and dear to my heart, and I will go on for hours and hours about it if you let me. A key part of a happy and prosperous writer's life, which is picking great clients and picking the best clients for you. So until then, stay tuned, stay safe, stay sane, and of course, keep writing. Bye.
Bye.